listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crossan, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. We are continuing our study, James, Living Out Your Faith, and we're at the halfway point here with Session 4. The title of this session is Faith on Display in Your Conversations. I am thoroughly enjoying all of these, but this one, wow, this is a good one. As we know, too many marriages, friendships, and business opportunities have been ruined by poorly chosen words. It's hard to cover up, too, when someone says something. It just hurts, and it just stays there for a long time. And even when you say, I didn't mean that, you know, so just choose your words wisely is what we're going to study here. As followers of Christ, we are to say exactly what we mean, and what we mean needs to be consistent with our faith and our love for Christ. So this is coming from James, the third chapter, verses 1-5a, and then 9 and 10, and then verses 13-18.
All right, so our point for today is when you rely on God, your words reflect his character. So why are the words of the faithful so powerful? Words set a course. Words set a course. Let's start at verse number 1. Not many should become teachers, my brothers, and because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in some ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they will obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Wow. So here, what is this? It sets a course. And so this is a great little passage here as it talks about this. Interesting, it starts out saying everybody shouldn't sign up to be a teacher, right? Teachers teach with these words. And he says, ultimately, what we teach is what gets reduplicated in other people's lives. And that's why teachers are going to be held to a stricter judgment. So think about that. Think about that if you want to sign up to teach. It has a weight of responsibility because it sets the course of the lives of the people who we are teaching. Sets the course. And so he says that teachers set the course. He gives illustrations in here about a bit in a horse's mouth that sets a course. And he gives an illustration about a rudder that sets a course. And ultimately says, so too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Come on. How many of you have gotten in trouble because your tongue had you to say something? Yeah, that's right. Our tongues have been used for good and evil. They have blessed and cursed. We got to be careful how we use the tongue. And so this is a real important piece because it sets the course. What do you see in here, Christina?
Absolutely. And you know, when he's talking about teachers, as you said, Mark, he's not concerned so much with the number of teachers, you know, even though then I believe teaching was a prominent role in the life of the church. What he's talking about here is that the talking and teaching irresponsibly, you know, when you're saying things that you shouldn't and that would cause people to stumble. So those who teach have a greater susceptibility to stumble with their language because they regularly engage in speaking. And I'm one to stumble all the time. It seems that I do that when I'm talking. But listen, it's not talking about making mistakes. And that's what I do. What James is talking about here is just talking in unloving ways, teaching irresponsibly, causing other people to stumble because of the impact that you have as a teacher on the in the lives of the people that you're teaching. So this analogy with the tongue being such a small part and has that control over large things is very, very good. I really like that.
All right. So there's some good information in the study, which reminds us that in gossip-filled conversations, usually only 10% are positive, 75% neutral, and 15% negative. Watch the tongue. And then it reminds us that the average person speaks about 16,000 words a day, 16,000 words a day. The minimum person speaks about 700. And it says that the top speakers, the most talkative, up to 47,000. And this suggested that men can actually speak more than women. We need to check those numbers, right? Yes. So, but this is the whole point. We're doing all this talking all the time, every day, whether talking personally to somebody, posting stuff on the internet, right? We're communicating with words all the time. And so just remember, words set a course. Second, words send a curse. They send a curse. Let's look at the second section, starting in verse number 9. With the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessings and cursings come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. And so there it is. We can send a curse. And so people have always talked about people who, you know, praise the Lord, you know, in church and then cuss people out in the parking lot. Well, that's exactly what this is talking about right here. And so that we bless God and then curse the creation that is the one who is created in his image. So blessings and curses should not come out of the same mouth. We have to remember to govern our words, to always speak to edify people and to lift them up, and not to curse them or even curse words. So, you know, some Christians are now coming, you know, starting to think, well, curse words are okay because they're just words. Well, if they have this negative effect on people, right? So the whole purpose of a curse word is to have a negative impact on a person. Well, this says we shouldn't want to have those kind of negative impacts on people or their lives. Blessings and cursings coming out of the same mouth. This ought not to be. What are you thinking, Christina?
I'm thinking that everybody needs to study this because this is something that as you said, people are talking in various ways all the time, and believers sometimes say the wrong thing and even use those curse words. So James here has observed that if blessing and cursing comes out of the same mouth, then something is wrong. Something is desperately wrong. And what I see here is compartmentalization taking place. A great example of that. Well, you go to church and you worship and you're praising God, you're singing hymns to God, and then you leave and you start talking about someone or gossiping about someone. You know, that's compartmentalizing. You have your church on one hand and you're praising God, and then on the other hand, you're talking about someone. You know, your church and what you do in worship should govern what you do outside of church. So you need to tear that wall down and allow God to use you. So be careful with those words. Bless your brothers and sisters. These things, as James said, should not be this way when we are blessing and cursing out of the same mouth.
All right, so words set a course, words send a curse, and words show our conduct. So let's read this last section, starting at verse number 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, complaint, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense, So that's weird. All right, so remember, words set a course, words send a curse, and words show our conduct. And so let's read this last section, starting at verse number 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and spiritual ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by those who cultivate peace. Wow. So this is great. This is great because words show our conduct. And now notice that he talks about wisdom from the world's wisdom, earthly, unspiritual, demonic, but God's wisdom, pure, peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without pretense. So it is clear. These show what kind of conduct we are living out in our lives. And so this is so so important, because one of the preachers, when I was a young preacher, would say this phrase. He said, our walk and our talk must agree, because our walk talks and our talk walks. Huh? So keep that in mind, that there really has to be alignment in our words and our conduct. They go hand in hand together. And so reach for godly, heavenly wisdom, the wisdom from above. What are you seeing here, Christina?
Right. You know, and that's what we should aim for, is that godly wisdom. And James is contrasting the worldly wisdom with godly wisdom, which is, you know, really a good way to look at this. So if you're teaching this, make sure to use that contrast. And if you're just reading this, then take a look at this, because he's saying that the worldly wisdom does not come from God. It's pretty clear. We know that. And the results of that is bitter envy and selfish ambition. So both of these are, it's not really, it's wisdom that's conducting oneself in a way that denies God. So the wisdom of the world, again, does not come down from heaven. But then he talks about that godly wisdom from above, and those characteristics are great. As I think Mark expressed those, this wisdom is pure, peace-loving, gentle, compliant. It's mercy. James included mercy and good fruits, and without pretense. I like that. And unwavering. Yes. So it's eight of them, eight characteristics that you will see that helps us to define what godly wisdom is. And this is our words. Remember, we're talking about words, and they show our conduct. And so if we're using words that show that we're using godly wisdom, that is just where we need to be.
All right. So what a practical and pointed lesson this is. And we hope that we will, in your classes, your faith will be on display. So this is a great lesson. If you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment, because Christina is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I just want to remind everybody that you can get your own copy of the U curriculum at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. The teacher guide is in the back of the book. It has daily devotional pages that keep you engaged in the Bible every day. Leaders, a wonderful leaders pack, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Come on, Christina, and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, our teaching tip for today is to use a method or strategy in your teaching called spiral teaching. So what you want to do is reread verses from the previous sessions and identify some theme words for each session. Like in session one, one word would be joy. We talked about joy during endurance. Endurance could be another word, and wisdom. And then for the second session, love without prejudice. And then session three, good works, serving others. So you get the idea there. And then today's session was about being complementary, godly words. And so all of these can be tied together or built upon. So you keep building on the topic of this unit, which is living out your faith. And soon you'll see that expand. It will expand into to showing you the powerful, practical ways that we can live out our faith. So you see all of those connected when you do that.
All right. This lesson can have a powerful impact on those who are in your classes. It's going to be a great experience. So join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.